The Chiefs can be trusted if they make the playoffs. And right now, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real podcast, coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and share. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend wherever you're listening and watching. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. Appreciate you guys as always. Check out the website, sportsintherereal.tv. Stay up with the latest on the podcast and on me. Let's jump into it, y'all. So college football, we'll do college football first. Quickly. I've been watching college football for a long time, and I can't remember a year where the Heisman has been so meh. Like, you can't really call it on who's going to be the Heisman. No one has really separated themselves like that. There's always been a favorite, and most times a favorite performs to the point where they remain in the conversation. This year, the favorite coming in was Arch, and he is not in the conversation anymore. He's actually left the room. He's gone. All right. But there really, you know, was others that were talked about as potentially winning the Heisman. But as you watch it, there's not really a big time this guy is gonna win the Heisman this year, no doubt about it. Like in previous years, like last year, you watched Travis Hunter. Even though he didn't have the craziest stats, but the cat was playing two ways and, you know, he was making crazy interceptions and receptions. You're like, yeah, this guy is the highest. All right. His play separated himself, allowed him to separate himself. There's not that this year. So I know there's, you know, Heisman favorites and Heisman odds and everything like that. But this year's Heisman's kind of meh. Whoever wins it is going to be kind of meh. Like, okay, I guess. But having said that, I was watching Indiana-Penn State this weekend, and I will say that Fernando Mendoza is probably going to win the Heisman. All right? Of all the QBs, it's a QB-driven award, just like the NFL MVP is a QB-driven award. We'll get into that later. The Heisman is a QB-driven award most years. And Fernando Mendoza has stood out as like the QB right now. And for me, it's really just based off of this last game, right? Like stats-wise, Mendoza, Julian Sam from Ohio State, Ty Simpson, Alabama, like all of these guys have similar stats. And their teams are playing well. Mendoza's undefeated. Sam's undefeated. Ty Simpson has one loss. But stats-wise, all these guys are the same. They look the same, really, when you look at them. But Fernando Mendoza actually had a Heisman moment. He had a Heisman drive against Penn State. Down late in the game, need a touchdown, throws the ball, toe tapper from his receiver. Like, that was a Heisman drive. Because Penn State was ready to win that game, ready to steal that game. But Mendoza, you know, did whatever he had to do to win the game for his team. That, to me, is a Heisman moment that none of the other cats have. Like, Julian Sayin pretty much coasts every game. Yeah, he plays well, but his defense is like, nobody's scoring on Ohio State's defense, so Julian Sayin really has to, like, just not turn the ball over. His team is stacked. Like, ain't nothing he could do, right? He's not the best player on his team, clearly. Actually, I remember beginning of the year, they talked about Jeremiah Smith being, you know, a Heisman favorite. And he still is a Heisman favorite, best player in the country. That's what they called him. So Julian Sam really doesn't have to do much. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback or he's getting carried, but he doesn't have to do much and risk the ball or anything like that because you can't score on his defense. You can't. All right. So he's never really threatened. So Julian saying, Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson again, Alabama. Ever since the Florida State loss, Alabama's been playing really good football. Their lone challenge was really against UGA, or was supposed to be a challenge. Turned out not to be much of a challenge at all. I mean, he's balling too, but again, doesn't have to do much. Got weapons on the outside. Defense plays well. And it's like, okay. He hasn't had any Heisman moment. He hasn't done anything to be like, wow, this guy is legit a baller. Texas A&M's up there, right, with their record and everything. And Marcel Reed, their quarterback, of course, you know, he's his numbers look good as well. 19 touchdowns, 6 picks, 378 rushing yards, 6 rushing TDs. So nothing to sneeze at. But again, you know, nothing that really stands out as, you know, crazy. So to me, the guy with the Heisman moment is Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana. He should win the Heisman if they give it to a quarterback, which they usually do. But if I were voting for the Heisman, I'm giving that joint to Jeremiah Love, running back, Notre Dame. And I know his stats aren't crazy out there, right? He's not putting like Ron Dane stats or nothing like that. But when you watch Jeremiah Love, it's like, damn it. I don't know who's better in college football. I don't know. Every Saturday on the field, you watch Jeremiah Love, you're like, this cat's the best player on the field every week. Again, his stats ain't going to blow you out the water. You know, he's not doing anything tremendous stat-wise, but on the field in this play, like, he carries that team. Need a big play? Jeremiah Love, every time for Notre Dame. So what my eyes have seen, I'm like, this cat looks like the best player in college football. And his team's probably not as good as they are without him. Every Saturday, bro, it's like this guy's doing something crazy. This past weekend, like, he gets tackled, but then he doesn't. That's a Heisman moment. That's a Heisman play. Those of us who's grown up with college football, like, we remember the plays. We remember the Heisman moments. We remember Charles Woodson. We remember these things. Like, those are Heisman moments. And the quarterbacks, outside of Fernando Mendoza's last drive this past weekend, the quarterbacks all look the same. They look interchangeable. Nobody's really standing out like that. But Jeremiah Love, to me, like, he, and what's crazy is that to show you how biased the voting is for Heisman, like, the Heisman odds have him in 7th place. Cool. You would think, you know, okay, they got him in 7th place. They got Jeremiah Love. The Heisman odds got Jeremiah Love in 7th place behind cats like Gunnar Stockton. Gunnar Stockton? Not UGA Gunnar Stockton. Again, it's biased towards quarterbacks. So no matter what Jeremiah Love does, unless he goes for 3,000 yards, he's probably not going to win it. But he definitely should be there. He should be in New York. He should be a finalist. I don't care what these other quarterback stats look like. It should be at least him and at least Fernando Mendoza. The rest is interchangeable. I haven't seen anyone else that I've watched in college football that I'm like, this guy's much better. Mendoza, he's had his Heisman moment. His team's still undefeated. We'll see how the season plays out. Jeremiah Love absolutely should be a finalist in New York. Saying Ty Simpson, Marcel Reed from A&M, you know. We'll see how it shakes out. But that's my take on the Heisman. Again, nobody truly crazy Heisman numbers, or nobody's playing like the Heisman every week like we had with Travis last year. But to me, the closest is Jeremiah Love. Like, that play against Navy or Army, whoever it was, that was ridiculous. That was crazy. And he does something crazy like almost every week. So nobody pays attention because, well, you know, he's not a quarterback. NFL. Jonathan Taylor is the MVP. All right? I don't care what nobody says. Quarterbacks are more valuable. Spare me. All right. Jonathan Taylor is the MVP of the league this year. He's already got, you know, 1,100 yards. He's going to get close to 2,000. Doesn't really matter. The 15 touchdowns already, by the way, 6 yards per carry. But the way he plays, the big plays every week, you're like, damn. You're like, you know, the Colts ain't where they are without him. Yeah, Daniel Jones has had a resurgence, but we know who the best player on that team is. We know who's the carrier. All right, literally the carrier. And no quarterback has really, just like the Heisman, no quarterback really has had like a standout crazy year. Outside of Stafford, by the way, I don't know if folks have noticed, and we'll talk about that later, Stafford's balling out. But Jonathan Taylor's got 6 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns already. He's got Daniel Jones looking like a damn all-pro. No shade to Daniel Jones. But again, quarterback-driven media, quarterback-driven league, we say. But we all know if the Colts are going to go anywhere, it's going to be on Jonathan Taylor's back, toting the rock. And so far, he's doing it. He's a monster. All right? So Jonathan Taylor for MVP. He looks unstoppable, you know, half the time. And, you know, once he gets going, he's gone. You're not going to chase him down. Like, he finds the holes when there ain't none. Like, best running back in the league. Said it a couple weeks ago. Jonathan Taylor, best running back in the league, and he should win the MVP. Spare me the quarterback talk. All right? QB this, QB that. Okay. We see what Daniel Jones looked like prior. By the way, he had Saquon. Anyway. So that's that on the MVP. Jonathan Taylor for MVP. He gets my vote. All right? So the NFL is a wild place, man. I'm watching the NFL week in and week out, and a team beat has a great win one week, and then the next week they lose to a bad team. And they lose a game that they shouldn't have lost. So I'm like, who can you trust? Who can you trust right now in the NFL to be consistent? And you're like, okay, I can see this team making a serious run. There are few and far between who you can actually trust in the NFL this year. There's nobody that's really like, oh, we stepping on fools. We doing a damn thing. There's nobody like that. So you're sitting there watching, you're like, this week they could beat this great team, and the next week they'll lose to that great team. Exhibit A, the Buffalo Bills. Who can you trust in the AFC? Not Buffalo. One week they beat Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. Next week they lose to the Dolphins, my Dolphins, whose minds are definitely, you know, on vacation mode right now, but somehow they beat the Bills. They had Tua looking like he was going to be an all-pro this year. They couldn't stop Jalen Waddle. Come on, man. We know your quarterback is great. We know your running back is great. Your defense is supposed to be great. But they look sorry against the Miami Dolphins. So as a Bills fan, you got to be wondering, like, are we good or what? Can we trust this team or not? I mean, Josh Allen makes you forget sometimes that he has some weaknesses. He can be error prone. And against the Dolphins, he was error prone. Threw picks, fumbled the ball. Against a bad team like that, that's already in Cancun, you can't do that, Josh. So the Bills are inconsistent. I can't trust them. In the AFC East, the best team right now is the Pats. Patriots, I hate to say that, but the Patriots are the best team, most consistent. Drake May playing out of his mind. Shout out to Mike Vrabel again. But guess what? Do we trust Drake May in the playoffs? Young QB? Second year? I don't know. So I don't know if you're going to trust the Patriots come playoff time. Josh McDaniels, obviously doing a hell of a job with Drake May, play calling, guys getting open, so on and so forth. I don't know if you can trust the Pats come playoff time, only because their quarterback is still young, but you never know. So that's the East. The West, Denver. Do you trust Denver? Denver's won 7 straight games. The Denver Broncos have won 7 straight games, and you can't find a single person who trusts them to go into the playoffs and win games and go on to the Super Bowl. You're not. Outside of Denver, outside of the state of Colorado here, you're not going to find anybody who trusts them. Why? Because their defense is amazing, and their quarterback is suspect. Very, very suspect. And Bo Nix, I mean, the guy was in college forever. You might as well be a veteran, but you forget he's still a young cat in the league. But he's so inconsistent in most games, like they're having to pull it out at the end in the fourth quarter, barely beating the Giants and like struggling, you know, to score points because their quarterback, Bo Nix, is one of the most inconsistent cats I've ever seen. He'll make great plays, and he'll throw passes in the dirt to wide open receivers. So who trusts Denver? I don't think anybody trusts the Broncos. The Chargers. Are the Chargers trustworthy? I don't know. I've seen them go in and out as well. Now, they've won like a couple games in a row as well. So they're on an upswing. But do you really trust the Chargers? Do you trust Justin to bring his A game every week? That's the thing. Some of these teams, like, their quarterback is like talented, but they don't bring their A game all the time. They're not present as leaders all the time. I like Harbaugh as a coach. Team is tough. Defense plays well. But I don't know how much I can trust the Chargers in the playoffs to go in and go bang, 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 Super Bowl. I don't. Kansas City? Do we trust KC now? They already got 4 L's. I mean, they're liable to take. Kansas City might not make the playoffs because their division got, they got 2 teams ahead of them in their division. All right. And Denver's probably going to keep winning with that defense. And the Chargers, I don't see them falling off much either. So KC is trailing 2 teams in their division, and I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. And they might not. They might not. They might not make the playoffs. Slow start. Injuries, whatever it is, other teams playing above their heads. So KC, I can trust them if they make the playoffs, but they might not make the playoffs. Y'all got me? So the Chiefs can be trusted if they make the playoffs. And right now, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Pittsburgh, leading the North. Defense still suspect. I talked about this last time. Got names, but don't play all that great. Aaron Rodgers is balling out, though, in that offense. But I don't know if I trust them right now. I want to see more consistency out of their defense before I say, okay, I can trust Pittsburgh. Baltimore. I was ready to count Baltimore out. I'm not sure if they're ready to make a comeback yet. Oof. This one's tough. Lamar's my guy, but the defense was so bad early on, even though they've picked it up. I don't know if I can trust Baltimore. I'm going to wait and see on Baltimore. I'm going to wait and see on Baltimore. All right. Their defense was so terrible. Their defense was so terrible. That I was like a couple weeks ago, not even Lamar can save them. But since he's been back, he has saved them. So we'll see. Last but not least on trustworthy teams is the Colts. The Colts look like they might be the most trustworthy team in the AFC, actually. All right? I know everybody's going to say, hey, their quarterback's Daniel Jones. And you're probably going to be right. Their quarterback's Daniel Jones. But with their opportunistic defense, their blocking on the O-line, and Jonathan Taylor, you probably don't need Daniel Jones to do much. Just don't throw the game away, big bro. They can beat anybody. I've said it before and I've said it again. The Indianapolis Colts can beat anyone. And right now, they might be the most trustworthy team in the AFC, at least for me. Still got time. You know, some teams got 8 games left. Some teams got 9 games left. Or 8 and 7 games left, I think. But right now, I think the Colts might be the one team in the AFC that I can trust. They're balanced. They show up every week. They may not win, but they show up every week, even though Pittsburgh did put it on them. But I think the Colts can be trusted. They can be trusted because of the way they play, especially if they don't have to go on the road, freezing temperatures. They can stay in the dome in Indianapolis. I'm not saying anything, but Daniel Jones might take his team to the Super Bowl. Or Jonathan Taylor might take his team to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, that's who I trust is the Colts. I can't believe I'm saying that a Daniel Jones-led team is who I trust the most in a conference with Patrick Mahomes, in a conference with Josh Allen, in a conference with Lamar Jackson. The team I trust the most is a team led by Daniel Jones. But that's facts. Because all these other teams, their defense got holes, they're not inconsistent. In the case of Patrick Mahomes, it's just it might be too late because the division now got teams ahead of him. Drake May is too young. So we'll see. We'll see. So that's the AFC. Let's move on to the NFC. Eagles and Packers played on Monday night. And I'm going to tell y'all this. The Packers cannot be trusted. They just can't. Their offense is too sus. I mean, they lost to the Panthers, was it? And to the Browns? If y'all remember, first week of the season, my overreaction, which wasn't really an overreaction, I thought the Packers had a full team ready to go, playoff style, run through the NFC. Their defense was going to be legit. Their offense could score, and they were going to go to the Super Bowl. Turns out I was wrong. The Packers are not going to the Super Bowl. Despite the fact that their defense is still really good, their offense is too inconsistent. I don't trust them. I do not trust them. So the Packers know they're not trustworthy. The Eagles, I want to trust them just based off of history. But the more they play, the more I'm like, their offense is mid. Their offense just looks suspect most games. For most of the game, most games. And then they pick it up, have a couple of drives. I'm like, oh, okay. They got injuries on the offensive line now with Lane Johnson. We'll see how that holds up. Defense tried to upgrade, bringing back Brandon Graham. They got Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins. So the Eagles are still the Eagles. They still got the weapons, but they're still not hitting on all cylinders. Saquon's not getting all the touches, I guess. AJ is frustrated about his touches. They're not a well-oiled machine. But we'll give them benefit of the doubt and say, okay, we trust y'all. In big games, we trust y'all. Tush push, we trust y'all, okay? 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, we trust y'all. Lions. Do we trust the Lions? Same squad, same crew. Dan Campbell had to take over play calling recently. They lost to Minnesota. But McCarthy at quarterback. Come on, man. But it's still Jared Goff. Do we trust Jared Goff in the playoffs to bring it? Do we trust Dan Campbell, as much as I like his aggressive style, to not be overly aggressive? So that's the Lions. Same old Lions. Do we trust them? I don't know. I can't say I know if I trust the Lions or not. The Bears. The Bears are like 6-3 or something like that. But I can't say I trust them. Caleb Williams is playing much better. He's having a much better campaign than Jaden Daniels, who I often compared him to. Jaden now is hurt and all that stuff. But Caleb Williams is playing well. But I don't trust him because the Bears haven't really beaten anybody good, all right? They beat the Cowboys like week three or something like that. But they haven't played anybody good since then that they beat. When they play a good team, they get smashed. So I don't know if I trust the Bears. The Bucks. I don't know if I trust the Bucks. I can't tell you why. I just don't know if I trust the Bucks. I really don't have a reason why. I like Baker, Mike Evans, Hall of Famer, Bucky Irving. Like, they got guys. Maybe it's the coaching. I don't know if I trust the Bucks. Seahawks. Rams. Those are two teams I do trust. I do trust the Seahawks, actually. Somebody's going to say, hey, Sam Darnold. And the thing is, we get stuck sometimes. We get stuck with what these guys used to be. So most people are going to say, I don't trust the Seahawks because it's Sam Darnold at quarterback. He's going to revert at some point to the cat that saw ghosts in New York. Or maybe not. Him and JSN got special connection, man. JSN looking like prime Antonio Brown. Seahawks 7-2, four straight wins. Darnold balling, 17 touchdowns this year already. By the way, it's clear, if I haven't said this before, I'll say it again, but I know I have. It's clear for people who are all stuck on quarterback performance and quarterback this and quarterback that, it's clear that quarterback success is way more dependent on, for most cats, 99% of cats, their success is dependent on the guys around them, the coaching, the GM doing their jobs. Like, there's no way you go from Sam Darnold seeing ghosted with the Jets to this Sam Darnold now. Geno's another example. Baker's an example, even though Baker was a bit of a hothead. There's Daniel Jones. There's more and more of these examples where guys are balling out of control now. When before, they look like they should be out of the league. They don't deserve to be quarterbacks in the league. So I hope as fans and as teams, we get over this infatuation of, oh, your quarterback is not top five. Your quarterback is not carrying, you know, the team on his back like Superman. Like, if your quarterback ain't Patrick, if your quarterback ain't Josh, ain't Lamar, you don't have a chance. No, that's not true. It's possible that with the right team, with the right O-line and a running game and a defense, your quarterback actually looks really good and plays like a damn top five quarterback. Like Daniel Jones is doing. Like Sam Darnold is doing. Guys who everyone had given up on, including me. Yeah, there are some guys who are like, no matter what you put around them, they're not going to be good. There's some guys like that. There are. But most guys in the league need somebody around them. So we say this guy's good because he's performing well, even though his team is much more stacked, versus the other guy who's not good, who's probably just as good, though, but is not performing as well because his team's not as good around him. Sam Darnold is exhibit A of that. So, yeah, I think I trust the Seahawks. I like their defense, especially when people still come in to Seattle in that loud-ass crowd. Yeah, I think I trust Seattle. And the Rams are, like, probably the most trustworthy team right now. If Matthew Stafford hadn't looked like a scrub against the Eagles, they're probably 8-1 now. Like, that team is legit. Their defense is legit. Like, probably the stingiest. I think they've given up, like, the first or second fewest points in the league. And Stafford has 25 touchdowns to two picks. He's putting up MVP numbers. Legit defense. They've been there before. Coaching's been there before. Devontae Adams, you know, he ain't even got that many catches. He's 30th in the league in receptions among receivers. 30th. But he's first in touchdowns. Baller. Puka Nacua, third in receptions. So they got the offense, they got the defense. The Rams don't have any holes. If Matthew Stafford just plays just non-turnover, you know, type of football, take care of the football, play the way you've been playing Matthew Stafford, I could see the Rams winning the Super Bowl. They, to me, the Rams, are the most trustworthy team in the NFL as I watch the NFL week in and week out. I'm not saying they're going to win it all, but if I had a bet based on what I've seen in terms of like total team construction, offense, defense, and all that, quarterback playing well, running game playing well, they pressure your quarterback, I think the Rams might be the most trustworthy team in the league. They've been there. They've done that. So, yeah. So, that's my take on who can I trust. All right. Most teams look good with their records. I don't know if you can trust them because they're so damn inconsistent. All right. So, that's the NFL. Let's do NBA real quick. I want to talk about the Rookie of the Year. Vijay Edgecombe's going to win the Rookie of the Year. All right. I don't know, unless Cooper just starts going bananas, I don't know if he's going to be able to like take it away. Cooper's averaging 14-6-3. Vijay Edgecombe's averaging 19-6-5. He's playing 39 minutes a night. Nick Nurse is going to kill them boys. Maxey's playing over 40 minutes. Nick Nurse is going to run his knees into the ground after 1 year. But that's how they used to do it old school, and we loved it. Old heads love dudes who could play all game. So I don't mind. But Vijay Edgecombe, like, we didn't expect this. We knew the cat was nice, but nobody expected this out the gate. And he is killing. And at this point, I might say something sacrilegious here. At this point, Philadelphia 76ers, I would say, and they've already started to change their offense around, I would say the Sixers' offense should be around Maxey and Edgecombe. And because of Embiid's injury history, you can't trust him to be in the lineup or out the lineup. I would say Embiid just comes in as the third wheel. Now, when he's healthy, he's still the best player. But you can't trust him to always be there. So you can't center your offense and your team around Joel Embiid if he's not going to be there all the time. So it's probably better to center your offense around the young guards that you have there in Edgecombe and Maxey. And slide in Joel Embiid when he's in and he just functions with the offense and the offense is not functioning around him. And Paul George is like fourth. And they're going to get back Jarrett McCain. Like, the Sixers actually have a squad if they're healthy. And we say that all the time about teams. And it's like, yeah, but they're never healthy. And you're right to say that about Joel Embiid. He's proven to his knees is what it is. His body is what it is. But Vijay Edgecombe is going to win Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. He should. And I know it's early. It's been like, what, 3 weeks? I know it's still early. But Vijay Edgecombe, to me, has been impressive. I don't see another rookie catching up, not even Cooper. And the reason Cooper's not going to catch up is because, first, Jason Kidd had him playing out of position. Jason Kidd tried to put the ball in Cooper's hands like he did with Giannis. And it worked for Giannis. It did. Giannis doesn't become the player he is today without Jason Kidd. People want to say whatever they want about Jason Kidd's time in Milwaukee. Giannis doesn't become the player he is today without Jason Kidd. And I feel like Jason tried to do the same thing with Cooper, put the ball in his hands, but not everyone's style is the same. Cooper's style is not the same. Cooper wants to get the ball, make a move, you know, get to a spot, do his thing. So I don't think it's natural for him to be out here trying to distribute. And it's probably something that you learn over time. Maybe he can get better at. Giannis got better at it over time. Giannis didn't just come in being who he is. Giannis got better at handling, being comfortable distributing, not just dunking the ball. So Cooper can get there, maybe able to get there over time. But right now, it ain't working. So they had to switch out. They put D'Lo in the starting lineup. So D'Lo is going to take pressure off of him and actually run the offense. And their offense, by the way, is dead last in the league. AD is injured. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? AD is injured. Cooper had 26 points against the Bucks actually last night. So I'm not saying it's totally too late. But what I feel is that VJ Edgecombe's going to keep putting up points, getting buckets. And he's going to be playing 39 minutes a night. So if Edgecombe's going to play 39 minutes a night and get 20 points a night, I think it's going to be hard for Cooper to catch up to that. So I think VJ actually wins the Rookie of the Year based off of that alone. The number of minutes he's going to play and the role that he plays in that offense. So we'll see, though. Exciting rookies, man. I give them that. This class is playing up. This class is hooping. All right? I don't see any busts yet. At least the games I've watched, the guys I've watched. I haven't watched everybody. I haven't seen any busts yet from the top picks. All right. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to catch you guys next time. Appreciate y'all hanging out for a few minutes with me, as always. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share. I'm going to remind you guys. but I'm going to catch you guys next time. All right, y'all be good. Have a great week. Mike, sports in the real Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.